A U.S. commander in Iraq said today that those who murdered and mutilated four American civilians in Fallujah yesterday would be punished. Iraqi police have recovered the bodies of the four men, whose identities have not yet been released.
The incident in Fallujah underscores the growing use of private security contractors in Iraq. American and British industry and government increasingly rely on private firms. But as the number of security workers grows, questions are being raised about their training and oversight. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
The grisly murder of the four Americans who worked for U.S.-backed Blackwater Security Consulting is prompting private security companies in America and Britain to reassess their mission and operations in Iraq.
It'd be fair to say that anyone involved in the business in Iraq is bound to take a second look at what they do.
Christopher Bees directs the British-owned company Armor Group, which provides some 500 Nepalese Gurkhas to help guard U.S. and British officials and employees of Kellogg, Brown & Root and Bechtel, the largest American firms working in Iraq. Bees says everyone in the security business has long known the extraordinary risks involved in Iraq, but Wednesday's attack, he says, made even combat-hardened employees take stock.
You may have to react differently to the risk. You may have to heighten your alert state. But it is something that our people and other contractors will have to live with day by day, and I think they're extraordinarily brave to do so.
The use of private military firms, what used to be called mercenary agencies, is hardly new. But in the last decade, and now especially in Iraq, Western powers are using corporate security forces like never before. Pentagon and British military leaders say the use of private warriors is vital, cost-effective, and frees up soldiers to focus on core combat and reconstruction missions. David Claridge runs Janusian Risk Management, which provides private security training and protection services in high-risk areas across the globe, including Iraq. Claridge says he's not at all questioning Blackwater Security's competence, but he says the sheer number of private security forces in Iraq in general is raising questions about the vetting, training, and quality of some firms' personnel, especially since Iraqi insurgents are increasingly targeting civilian workers.
We are aware as an industry that perhaps some of the people being employed in Iraq, because of the massive demand for labor, some are perhaps not up to the task. As I say, and I reiterate that this is not referring specifically to the individuals here, but we have seen a number of security operatives die during the last 7 days, and we have to make sure that everyone providing services there is professionally trained and up to the task.
In addition, it's often unclear what rules of engagement these private armies operate under and what accountability exists if mistakes or tragedies occur.
We've really moved into an era of mercenaries, whether we want to acknowledge it or not.
Rick Barton is co-director of post-conflict reconstruction at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He notes that well-paid private guards now protect key installations, as well as Iraq's U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer and Afghan President Hamid Karzai, among others. Barton says the increased use of private security has occurred largely without any wider public debate.
To me, it's something that's just happening without anybody really giving it much thought. It might make sense, and in some cases it probably does make sense, but the larger philosophical debate about whether mercenaries should really be in these incredibly responsible positions is one that we should visit much more thoughtfully.
Officials say while revenues are up substantially for private security firms in Iraq, so are the costs. A new government report on Iraq warns of skyrocketing insurance costs for private firms and its potential harm to Iraqi reconstruction. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.